And with for Vagary.tv podcast provided by Cashfly at cashfly.com. That's cachefly.com.
Welcome to episode 48 of Movie Dudes. Long time no see, but it's still the two of us. We're both still here.
Yep.
I'm Jeff, and this is Chris.
That's me.
Chris has seen some movies. What do you want to start with, Chris?
I guess, why don't we start with the crappy one?
Okay.
I don't know if crappy is the right word, but...
I'm assuming you're referring to The Lone Ranger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because... I think the other two, there's way more positive stuff to talk about. The Lone Ranger, Disney film, I guess, 2.5 hour slogfest of boredom. Directed by Gore Verbinski, starring Johnny Depp and some dude named Armie Hammer that I don't know where the hell he came from. It's The Lone Ranger. I don't really know what to say about that. I mean, it's this kind of classic. It's been around for, 80 years now or close to it. This American vigilante hero started out as a radio show. This guy, Armie Hammer plays John Reed, who goes on to become the Lone Ranger. Johnny Depp plays his Indian sidekick Tonto, and it kind of plays out like a really dull Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Just in the Wild West. Like, I mean, the action scenes that there are decent. I think there's like four of them, maybe only three of them. I'm drawing a blank right now, but it's really, really long, and that makes it a little bit boring. Now, Johnny Depp's good in it, I guess, but he's basically playing the same character he's played for like the last 10 years, so
yeah.
Himself.
Like, for me, that's like gotten annoying, so I had no interest. You said that the villain was good too, though, right?
Yeah, William Finchner... He's been in a bunch of stuff. Like, I mean, if you saw him, you'd know who he is. He's pretty decent in it. He's this just really evil. I mean, that's the thing about the Lone Ranger is it's always a struggle of good versus evil. And the character that William Fincher plays, Butch Cavendish, he's pretty damn evil. This dude will eat the your heart out, literally out of your body, he just does it so well. He just chews up scenery as the film goes along, and he's actually for me, like, he was more enjoyable to watch than, you know, Johnny Depp's shtick, which isn't bad. It's just that's Johnny Depp's shtick. Like, seeing somebody else kind of steal scenes from him was a nice change of pace.
Oh, yeah, I totally recognize this guy.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. It's just,
yeah.
He's never the star of anything.
I remember he was like an FBI agent or something in Go. You remember the movie Go?
I do. Yeah. I don't remember if he was in it or not, but... Yeah, I mean, he's been in a ton of stuff. Like, you see him, you know who he is. And... Yeah, that's about it, though. Lone Ranger, like, it's not a great movie, especially for summer films. There's a ton of better stuff to go see.
Yeah. I'm skipping it. I was skipping it before you even saw it.
Yeah, and you like westerns, don't you? Kind of. I don't like westerns at all, so this really had no big draw for me.
I like Unforgiven.
Okay. I mean, I can get behind that one as well, so.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Not this, though.
No. No. Take a pass on this one. Go see one of the other two movies that we're going to talk about, so.
Yeah, what do you want to hit on next?
Let's talk about Man of Steel. So you saw that one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Man of Steel. Zack Snyder directed Man of Steel. Zack Snyder of 300 and Watchmen and Sucker Punch fame. Or as I like to describe it, the lowering bar of quality. this film surprised me. Like, I was expecting it to be a shit show, and he pulled it off. It's a quality, entertaining, sci-fi superhero epic.
Yeah,
it's a straight comic book movie. Like, there's no doubt about that. But it's good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. And I think we went in this kind of like the same expectations. Like, I don't like Zack Snyder actually, like, at all.
Right. Okay.
And I went into it like I liked the Superman movies as a kid, but like I wasn't like I'm not like a huge Superman fan, you know. This kind of made me really enjoy him. This is like an awesome origin story. I like the whole I like the plot of it, even though it's kind of goofy.
Anything dealing with aliens is almost always goofy, so.
Yeah. Like, the whole, like, I probably shouldn't spoil it, but, like, the whole reason for, like, the villain coming to fight Superman was, like, that's messed up.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
But, I really liked, like, from beginning to end, I love, like, the opening when they show you, his dad. What was his dad's name?
Jonathan Kent. His real dad.
Yeah.
Jor-El.
Like, they show Jor-El and his wife trying to get the hell out of there as, like, his, like, Krypton is, like, falling apart. Like, that was, like, crazy awesome special effects and people getting killed left and right. And I really, probably my favorite part of the whole movie is, like, all the flashbacks that they do to when he's, like, a little kid in Smallville and shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even those were, like, a lot of them were in the trailers, which kind of sucked, but they were still really cool moments. There's a scene in a bar that I really loved. Do you remember that?
Oh, when the guy punches him?
Like, the guy was, like, being a dick. Like, he's, like, putting his hands on some girl, and then, you know, Clark Kent was, like, working there as, like, a bartender. He, like, tells him to leave. He's like, I'll leave when I want. He pours a beer on his head. Does he punch him, too?
The guy punches him, but Clark doesn't punch him, but
he just takes it.
Yeah, the guy punches him, and, like, his hand, I think he breaks his hand, like, when he punches him, it doesn't, like, go that far in depth, but you can definitely see the guy is in agony, like, after he punches him.
Yeah, and then, like, I remember him pouring the beer on his head, and, like, Clark just walks out. Dude walks out a couple beers later, and his truck is, like, completely destroyed.
Yeah,
it's like it paled.
It was a logging truck, and Clark had, in a fit of anger, revenge, or whatever you want to call it, he has taken all the giant logs and basically dissected this dude's truck with it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and like I thought he was good as what's his name, Henry Cavill or something.
Yeah, Henry Cavill.
I thought he was good. Like, I saw some people say he was like wooden. I didn't think so.
No, I mean, I thought he was pretty solid.
Michael Shannon was cranked up to 11 as fucking General Zod.
Yeah, he was.
But I think it worked. It was like kind of, it's over the top, but it worked.
What I liked about, and I mean, it harkens back to my favorites of the Superman movies before this, which was Superman 2.
Yeah.
It was good to see Superman having to go up against enemies that are on the same strength level as him. I mean, it's so... It just got tedious watching him having to fight humans or... Like, it's like, but he could blow on them and they would, like, they'd yeah. be dead. Like, it's stupid. Like, so having, like, you know, he's fighting other Kryptonians or other super strength people, like, that's always been more intriguing to me.
Yeah. I don't see how they could have him fight. Like, dude, he wasn't afraid of the army in this, you know, it's just like, right. whatever, you can't do anything to him.
I love the little, like, touches towards, well, one, I love the fact that he is Superman the entire film. Like, there's no, I'm going to hide, like, who I am. Like, I mean, they touch on that a little bit, like, where he can't kind of reveal his powers, but he's never, like, until the very end, he's not the iconic Clark Kent. Like, he is Superman
yeah.
this entire
yeah.
film. And I think it allows to tell for a better story because of that.
I do think, though, like, one of my favorite things, like, about this, like, the dramatic element of him deciding whether to reveal himself to the world, and I thought that was, like, one of the best parts of it, although it did
oh,
play.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there is a part with his dad where it's kind of cheesy, where his dad goes to get this dog.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that, to me, was like, at that point, you could, you know, just do something, and no one's gonna say nothing about it.
Right.
But, to me, that dramatic, like, thread going through it of, like, you know, is the world ready to accept Superman? Like, even after he reveals himself, you know, that the way the army reacts to him and stuff, like, that I thought was...
but, yeah, I mean, and that had some of the most light moments in the film, too, is they're pulling him in, and it's that iconic shot of him in handcuffs as they're walking him through this army base and he's just sitting there and like Lois Lane like kind of questions him like why it makes them comfortable, like it makes them feel that they have some sort of control over the situation, and then he just snaps them off.
Yeah, like they question him, he's like, look, he snaps them off, he's just like, I can do whatever I want, I'm here to help, you know.
Yeah.
And while we touched on it, Lois Lane, I think she's really cute.
Amy Adams is beautiful.
Yeah.
I loved her in that role. She was fantastic.
She was great for Lois.
Yeah. And it's funny because I caught a little bit of Superman Returns, which was the Superman movie before this, directed by
Bryan Singer, was it?
Yes, by Bryan Singer. And wow, that movie is so cheesy.
I still kind of want to see it just to see how it contrasts against this one.
Like, this looking at, like, Kate Bosworth as Lois Lane and Brandon Routh is, like, it's just, they get such better performances out of the primaries in Man of Steel. It's just, and some of that is, you know, David Goyer and Christopher Nolan worked on the story. For this, so you know, you definitely had higher quality, I guess.
Yeah, better writing, but this cast, like, man, this is a really good cast. Especially, I think, somewhat underrated actor, Kevin Costner as John Kent.
Costner was great.
He feels like a rural dad. Like, he feels like a real person, you know.
Yeah, I really liked Russell Crowe as Jor-El.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Shannon is odd. Like, everybody from top to bottom was very well done.
Diane Lane as the mom.
Yeah.
Great. I'm a little confused by, like, this got really mixed reviews from critics to the point where I was like, I don't know if I need to go see this. You know, 2.5 hours, but, like, it didn't feel long to me. I don't get what critics didn't really like about it. Like, it was an entertaining film.
Right, and Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White. Like, I thought across the board it was really well done.
Yeah, I don't have really a bad thing to say about it. There's, like, a few cheesy moments, and, like, if you want to overanalyze it, sure, you could pick it apart, but, like, it was a very entertaining movie, so.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. It's one of the better summer blockbusters of the year so far, I think, and I saw it at a press screening before it came out, and then we went with the kids the weekend it did come out, and my brother went with us to see it, and He did not enjoy it.
Really?
Yeah, he wanted more of, like, the old Superman, like, from the 80s. And it's like, that's... Hell, you have to update it at some point, and that Superman is cheesy, and I don't like him.
I like the old ones, but I like 1 and 2. Especially, like, 2 is my favorite as well. Just because he, like, stops being Superman in it and he comes back.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The dude fucking with him in the diner, and he finally just kicks ass. And he throws, like, I think he throws General Zod through a Marlboro truck and shit. Like,
oh, yeah,
I love
Superman 2. It's really, really good. And this had a lot of ties to that. Like, just across the board. Like, just.
It's the same villain, you know?
Yeah.
Pulled from the best. There's no Lex Luthor in this.
Yeah, I did like the little, like, kind of hints to, like, that Luthor exists in this universe.
Was there really?
Yeah, like,
there. Oh, yeah, yeah, there's, there was, like, a sign, right?
Yeah, there's, like, a LexCorp sign, and,
yeah.
And, there was, like, a truck that goes by that's a LexCorp truck, like, so Luthor exists in this universe. He wasn't necessary for this film, and you can bring him back in like, a sequel and do something with him there, so...
But again, less interesting. I think right. There's a less interesting.
Yeah, Lex is a great character, but as a villain for Superman, like it's like a no. There's a no contest.
Though. Yeah, yeah. And plus, General Zod ties even more to his origins. Like, you know, Zod is from his fucking planet.
Right.
You know, so it helps to set up an origin story. But yeah, I'm confused by people that didn't like this one. I will go on a limb. I think I said this to you. I liked it more than The Avengers, and I liked it more than Dark Knight Rises. So,
I could definitely see that. I'm not as big not that you're a big Superman fan. But
no.
Yeah, I'm just not big. I could see it being better than The Avengers. Like, I think we talked about this when The Avengers came out. The Avengers has a great final 40 minutes, but it is a rough hour and a half getting to that final 40 minutes.
Yeah, so. there's like a really boring stretch of it in the middle. The plot's not that interesting. Like, people, I'm sorry, people overrate that movie a lot.
Like, I think it's fun. I think it's a fun film, but it's not as good as a lot of people make it out to be.
I think if you take out the Hulk parts, I don't even like it. I love the Hulk. Like, I want a movie just based on that Hulk, man. But, yeah, anyways, Man of Steel, I think it's still out there. I would recommend it.
Yeah, go see it. It's, quite good.
Yeah, don't listen to the critics or your stupid friends. Listen to your smart friends. Listen to us.
Yes, listen to us. Go see it.
But you saw one that just came out.
Yeah, by the time this goes up, it will be out. Pacific Rim. Guillermo del Toro's latest film. It's hard to overall explain, but it's in the grand scheme of it, it comes down to monsters versus mechs. It's a Godzilla movie where the humans are combating the Godzilla type creatures with gigantic mechs. It does this great thing in like the opening 10 minutes where it lays out exactly what's going on, exactly what these monsters are, which are called kaiju in the film, which is an actual term to refer to Godzilla-type monsters. And there are these giant mechs called Jaegers, and they are controlled by two pilots via a neural link. That allows them to share their brain to basically operate this gigantic robot thing, and they fight off these monsters. And like a lot of apocalyptic films, like the humans are on the verge of losing, and there's a last-ditch effort to save humanity, and it's mostly done with these gigantic robots beating the shit out of gigantic monsters, so...
Dude, alright, well, first off, this movie has a lot of internet hype. Does it even come close to, like, living up to what people are envisioning?
I mean, I don't... Since the first trailer, which I saw earlier this year, it looked to me like it was going to be a giant monster versus giant robot Fight Fest, like a sci-fi blockbuster, special effects, like extravaganza. And it delivers on that. Like, if you're going in looking for, like, Pan's Labyrinth with giant robots and I mean that, and it's stupid to think that. Like, why would a movie with giant robots and giant monsters, like, have that? But, I mean, when you name Guillermo del Toro, like, people expect a certain level of, you know, plot to the films, and I think,
like, a certain level of depth.
Yeah, yeah, and this isn't a very deep film. Like, most of the characters are very, 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 like, one-note. They're there to just kind of push the story along. Outside of the two primaries, Raleigh Beckett, played by Charlie Hunnam, who is, I believe, on Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mako Mori, who is played by this young, I believe she's Japanese. At least that's what she is. Yeah, she's Japanese. Rinko Kikuchi, who is... she is just adorable in this film. Like, she's an anime character come to life. Like, it's just like, this chick is cute. Like, and that's what it is. It is a anime cartoon mixed with Godzilla just brought to life, and it's fun. If you're looking for anything more than that, though, you're probably going to be disappointed, but if you're just looking for shit to be beat up and have a good time with and, you know, make you forget about everything else for 2 hours and you leave the theater feeling happy that you were there, this is one of those films.
I actually, I do want to see it. I just haven't gotten a chance yet, but, yeah, one question I had, though, is since they're both gigantic, like, it's like a giant monster and a giant robot,
mm-hmm.
at some point do you lose the sense of scale because they're both just, like, do they just, you know what I'm saying, at some point where it just kind of looks like fighting, like two regular sized things fighting?
They're sometimes. The ending, specifically... The ending of the film takes place on the ocean floor. So these kaiju, these giant monsters, are coming through a dimensional rift at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. that's what this is. That's what this film is. So you end up, you go to the bottom because you want to close this dimensional rift or whatever, and no matter how big you make these monsters, no matter how big you make these giant robots, the ocean's fucking huge. Like, so you go to the bottom of it, you're gonna seem a little small, and the ending does have that.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is done really well. Where, I mean, they show the monsters rampaging through the cities and taking down parts of like giant walls that have been erected. And there's this great fight scene in the second act where it's all four of the Jaegers are combating these two kaiju that have come up, and by the end of it, it's the primary Jaeger, the Gypsy Danger, and these other two giant monsters, and they are ripping through Hong Kong, and the Gypsy Danger picks up a freighter ship, like a huge, like, 900-foot ship, and uses it like a baseball bat. Like, it's like, I mean, so it's like, yeah, you could easily see where scale would be lost, but when you're blowing through giant buildings and you're using a 900-foot ship as a baseball bat, like, you can maintain the scale to some degree. And they do a great job of also kind of like highlighting how big these things are. Like, there's a scene, it's a flashback where to Mako's childhood, and like typical Godzilla film, like, you know, like the little Asian girl running away from a giant monster in the city in like Tokyo, and it's like that's what it is. Like, you just see this monster like tearing through buildings. And this little girl running, like, it's just a great sense of scale and scope. But if there is a complaint, it's that sometimes the camera work gets a little too close to everything, which is a complaint with a lot of, like, hand-to-hand combat films anymore.
They just don't know how to shoot action anymore, seems like
sometimes this stuff gets a little too close, and it's like, you're like, all right, just pull back a bit, because you really want to see these two things kind of go at it from a distance, because that's where it would be most entertaining for them.
Yeah. Interesting cast, man. I didn't realize all these people were in it. I didn't even know Charlie Hunnam's like the lead.
Yeah, he's the lead.
Oh. But yeah, there's Ron Perlman, who is his co-star on Sons of Anarchy. It looks like he's in it.
Yeah, Ron Perlman, he has a more comic relief role. He's done work with Del Toro before. He plays Hellboy.
That's right.
In those films. A lot of the monster design actually looks very similar to Hellboy and Pan's Labyrinth, which are Del Toro films. And Perlman though plays Hannibal Chow. He named himself after his favorite historical figure and his Chinese food restaurant on like 12th Street in New York. He's funny. Like he comes across as kind of amusing, but there's really not much point to him being there. It's just he's Ron Perlman hamming it up. Like,
yeah. You also, I imagine this guy hams it up. Charlie Day, isn't it?
Honestly, he doesn't really.
He plays a straight role.
He plays kind of like this eccentric scientist. So like. But he's overshadowed by this other eccentric scientist he works with, played by Bernd Gorman. And that guy is way more crazy than Charlie Day's character.
He's a creepy-looking dude.
Yeah, and Charlie Day comes across as more like the level-headed one, and it's like not something I would have expected.
No.
And Idris Elba is in it as well.
Stringer Bell from The Wire.
Yeah, he's really good. For what he does, like there's not really a whole lot of depth to his character, but he gives this great, almost Samuel L. Jackson-ish type speech.
Nice.
To rally the troops. So yeah, there's a lot of people in it.
A lot of really cool. Like TV stars, like a lot of people, like whose characters I love on TV.
Yeah, I think what you're gonna see though is this movie is going to, it's gonna flop.
Really?
I just don't think that you're gonna be able. Like, the concept of it is very much geek culture. It's giant robots, giant monsters. But how do you sell that to the mainstream? That is like at this point they're infatuated with superheroes and. There's no name to bring these things in. Like, it's a shame because it's original production, even if most of the concepts are not original. But
yeah, you sell it as shit blows up, people like that.
I think it'll do good this weekend, but I don't think it's gonna have a long tail.
Well, I will contribute to its success or failure. We'll see.
I'm gonna take my son to see it on Saturday. He wants to go watch it, so. You'll watch more shit blow up.
Also, one last cast note. There is Clifton Collins Jr. Do you know who that is?
No.
He's been in a ton of stuff. He played the first role I've ever seen him in. He played Tack in the Stone Age, which is where I get my internet name from. Fun little fact.
I'm looking at his picture right now.
He's been in lots of
stuff.
Yeah,
he's been in a ton of stuff. He's another one of those guys, kind of like William Fincher. It's like
he plays small, really small.
Yeah, he's never the big guy, but he's a guy that you see around in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was in Traffic as well.
Yeah, evidently he was in another movie I saw earlier this year, Parker, the Jason Statham movie. I wouldn't even have been able to tell you who he played.
Oh my god, he was on The Shield. I don't remember him on The Shield. But yeah, he's been in a lot of shit, so.
Hey, he was on The Shield, huh?
Yeah!
Where?
He played some guy called Herman.
Was he a recurring character?
In two episodes.
Okay.
He probably was like a gangbanger or something, like,
right,
like off to the side. Yeah, he was in two episodes in, I want to say, the final season, because it's 2007. I don't remember him, but I do remember him from the Stone Age, so there's that.
There you go.
But yeah, so I should go see it, though, huh?
Yeah, if you temper your expectations to just kind of expect giant monsters versus giant robots, I think you'll have fun with it.
Alright. I mean, that's pretty much what I was expecting, so.
That's exactly what it is. And it doesn't give you much more than that, but it's fun. What it does is fun. And Del Toro is just from a cinematography standpoint, he does some beautiful work with, like, film. Like, his films are always very pretty to look at. And this is certainly no exception. Like, the special effects are phenomenal. I think the robot designs are great. I think the monster designs are really well done. I just think he's created a great world here. And I did not stick all the way through to the end. I mean, I saw the entire film, but I didn't stick through all the credits. I don't know if there's any sort of setup for a sequel, but...
There could be.
Yeah, like, he's one of those ones that, even before it became popular to do it in just about every film, he was adding, like, secret clips to the end of his stuff, so, I kind of, like, after I left, I was like, I should have sat through the entire credits.
I never do that. I'm always like, I need a cigarette.
So there's that.
Well, I'll go see it.
All right.
Hopefully.
I think that's it. I mean, I watched some, like, other, like, random stuff, but nothing overwhelming.
You been watching Under the Dome?
I saw the pilot. I still need to sit down and watch the second episode.
You've seen the best of that series.
Really? So it got worse.
It's quickly falling apart. It's just kind of cheesy. It feels like... That's the problem with a lot of, you know, Stephen King's, like, TV miniseries. It feels like a TV miniseries after a while. It's like, everything is fucking, like, every character is, like, way corny. Like, it just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked the pilot, but...
it was good,
I could see that happening.
But, like, the pilot's easy to make good because it's, like, this fucking disaster just starting. Yeah, like, the book was exciting like that in the beginning. You're like, oh, man, what's going on?
Right, you're still trying to figure out, like, I mean... Not you, I mean, as people that have read the book, but the characters in the show are still trying to figure out what's going on, and there's still tragedies have, like, there are planes crashing into shit, and...
Hearts blowing up.
Yeah, and it's... I thought they handled that weird.
What, when his heart blows up, or...?
Well, like, this, the whole sheriff thing, like, they painted him as knowing something about what was going on.
He did, though.
I don't remember him knowing.
Yeah, he had a file. Like, they've already altered it.
Right.
But he had a file.
Right, but he
and
wasn't...
His wife knew about it. Like,
right,
like,
but he wasn't a...
Like, he wasn't in on it.
Yeah, like that's kind of like I got this implication that he was in on it in this, and like, that's not what happened.
Well, he was totally in on it in this show. I don't, in the book, I think he might have had an inkling, and like,
he was going to go after,
was he really?
Yeah.
But I remember Big Jim, like, kind of assuming that the dude was looking the other way, kind of like how he says in the pilot, where he's like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I think what's his name, Hank, is the best thing about it so far, but even then.
Yeah, well, I like him as an actor. He's pretty solid, but
yeah. When I say Hank, I mean Dean Norris.
Yeah.
Dean Norris, right?
The guy who plays Hank on Breaking Bad, which we'll get to see him very shortly. So that'll make up for some better summer TV.
Oh, can't wait.
Well, I guess spinning off summer TV, I watched The Bridge, which is the new FX cop drama. That show was weird. And I don't know if I want to watch much more. I guess there's that, so...
You never know. Like, sometimes, a lot of times, it takes a couple episodes, but,
Yeah, which is a shame, because it's like, I really need you to hook me, like, in that first episode. Like, Under the Dome did a great job. Like, that first episode made me want to watch the second one. The bridge, I'm like, I mean, the concept is cool, but do I want to come back?
Yeah, and like, you know, speaking of cop dramas, I think The Shield does a pretty good job in the first episode of making you be like, wow, this is on another level.
Right, you need something to bring people back to for the next round. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you know, episode 2 or 3 is a little off, if you've hooked them with the first one, you can get them to keep coming back. As long as you can turn it around. If that first one is bad and you don't get them to come back for the second one, well, they're definitely not coming back for episode 3 or 4, so we'll see. I might give it one more shot, and we'll see how it goes.
One last summer TV note. Mad Men wrapped up its second to final season. Oh, my God, it was perfect.
So next year's is the end, or
I didn't know that until I read a review of the final episode, and then they're like, "Yeah, there's one more year left. Where will Don go from here?" And I'm like, "I don't know." But if they would have ended it, if the episode, like the last episode that aired, the season finale aired, was the series finale, I would have been perfectly fine with that being the series finale. It was that good. I guess I don't really want to say more, even though people have like seen it already, but I know you haven't. So
yeah, no, my wife has watched it. I need to sit down. She started watching it back maybe November, and she burned through the first 3 seasons. Or first, was this season 6? Or 5?
I want to say it was 5.
And she burned through the first 3 seasons on Netflix. I bought her season 4. She burned through that, and then she just, like, ate these ones up like crack. Like,
So she's caught up?
She's completely caught up, yeah.
Oh, man, like, yeah, like, she's probably told you, but, like, this last season was just... the show is just phenomenal. Like, at some point, I think I like Breaking Bad more still, but it's just a straight drama where it's not about who's getting killed and this and that. This movie, or the show just, like, has some of the best commentary about life in it, and it's just... But it does it so, like, where you're, like, laughing the whole episode, you know? And then, but then all of a sudden you're like, oh, fuck, you know? It's like the big moments are just, like, little things. Like, you're just like, damn, dude. Like, it's never about who's going to get killed because people don't, like, there are a few deaths in the show, but it's not, you know, it's not that type of show.
Right. Yeah, I need to sit down and watch that. There's so much stuff I need to sit down and watch, so.
Yeah, there's like you've missed out on a lot of like big awesome shows too. Like you missed The Wire, you missed Sopranos, right? Like
yeah, I've never been a big mob fan though, but I've heard The Sopranos is really great. And
well, the best parts are the Sopranos is the family drama, not the you know the mafia
mob
family
stuff. Okay.
It's yeah, so
it's Tony Soprano's family, not
yeah,
not the mob stuff. So at some point.
Yeah, the mob stuff's good, but, like, it's not a plot-driven show. It's just about... It's another show where it's just kind of about people, like, you know?
Well, what I really like about HBO Go is that I have all that stuff there. Like, if I want to sit down, I can start watching it whenever. Because they have every episode of all their shows, so...
And they have all that stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Dude.
The Sopranos is all there, Boardwalk Empire is there, another show I need to watch.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God.
Everybody keeps telling me I'd really love True Blood, like, even though it's cheesy and corny, but it'd be right up my alley, so I need to watch that as well.
Put The Wire and 6 Feet Under on that list as well.
Yeah, so I should just sit down and watch HBO for, like, ever. And,
for like a year.
Yeah, just like not watch anything else, just watch HBO. And
You'll be a better person because of it, trust me.
Alright, well, I think that's it. I'm sure there's some movies coming out, although I think the really big ones are, we're done. We're through blockbuster season at this point.
Yeah, there's some I would love to like see that I missed. Like, I want to see This Is the End still.
Yeah, well, I want to see that. I want to see The Heat. I heard that's really funny.
I'd watch it.
Melissa McCarthy and Sandra.
Oh, Bullock. That one. I was thinking of something else. But yeah, I'd watch it.
I still want to see World War Z. I've heard mixed things about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I'd like to see, but I think we're through blockbuster season at this point. I don't really... I'm trying to think of, like, what the next big movie coming out is. Like,
I think coming soon it's, like, horror season. Like,
yeah, The Conjuring. The Conjuring is next week. Yeah, I'm going to go see that. That looks like it could be fun.
Yeah, it looks actually good.
I'm sure there's a bunch of other stuff coming out too, but nothing on the level of what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think Pacific Rim kind of ends the summer blockbuster. Yeah,
closes it out, and then it gets to like, hey, these might be cool.
Well, then hopefully, you know, get in some good like dramas in the fall. Like, that's pretty much my favorite category at this point. Is like. Or good crime dramas.
Okay, so I quickly looked it up. Two Guns is the Mark Wahlberg, Denzel Washington crime thriller. That looks pretty cool. Let's see, there's a couple other ones too. Elysium, I guess that's the last big.
Yeah, that looks good, man. Yeah. You know what does not look good? R.I.P.D.
Yeah, it looks awful, doesn't it?
And you know what's funny is, like, I forgot who was telling me this. They're like, yeah, did you see the trailer for R.I.P.D.? And I was like, no. And then I went and watched it, like, isn't that cool? Oh, no, it was one of my employees. She's like, I can't wait to see this movie. I was just like, yeah, it looks all right. Like, I like, what's his name?
I really like Ryan Reynolds, but that movie looks
I like
awful.
Jeff Bridges, but yeah, it looks so bad. Turbo, to me, looks really stupid. Like, I don't know. It could be okay, I guess, but...
It's a kid's movie, so...
I think Only God Forgives is going to be badass, hopefully. I don't know, have you seen that?
I don't think I've seen a trailer for that yet.
It's like a spiritual sequel to Drive. It stars Ryan Gosling again, and it's the same director.
Yeah, is that where he goes to, like, Thailand?
Yeah!
Yeah, that does look pretty good.
Yeah... That could take us by surprise. Well, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it's good, but there's Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, that can kiss my ass.
Oh, you didn't like Kick-Ass?
Nah, I was not a fan. Did you like Kick-Ass 1?
I thought it was all right. Like, I don't get people's like obsession with it.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, that's what I thought. I thought it was okay, and then everyone was like, "Oh, this is the best one." Like, surely not. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
I liked, you know, like, I liked Nick Cage and his daughter, Hit Girl, like...
Yeah. I really like Chloe Moretz.
Yeah.
The World's End is coming at the end of August. That is the next Edgar Wright movie starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. It's the conclusion of the... That trilogy of films that started with Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, so they have no link to each other, but
yeah,
I enjoy those movies. They're fun. They're goofy. They're not the best things ever, but
they're kind of hit or miss with me. Like, this is another one where I'm like, I get it, but it doesn't. There's Riddick.
Yeah, when is that?
September 6th. It looks like.
That I think is going to be fun.
There's Insidious 2. Didn't even know that was coming out. The first one.
I liked Insidious 1. That's another one where it's just like, I am really skeptical. So they made The Last Exorcism 2, and by all accounts, that is an atrocious film.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if James Wan is directing Insidious 2.
It says he is. I'm just going through IMDb here. There's Machete Kills, and I'll admit, I like Machete. I don't care what the fuck anyone says. I know a lot of people hate it, but...
I didn't hate it. I did not love it. Like, I thought it was solid.
There's one that, like, could be a total bust, but I'm ultra excited for, is Carrie.
Oh, that was good. Well, another Chloe Moretz, so...
Yeah, I like her.
I'm on board for that.
But yeah, like... That's directed by the director of Boys Don't Cry. Wow. That could be intense, man.
Insidious 2 is directed by James Wan and written by his partner, Lee Wan, also. Hopefully that's good. also stars Patrick Wilson, so who's in the picture? I hope that turns out good, because that was a solid film.
I don't see him a whole lot after that. There's Thor coming out in November, which is fucking weird.
Yeah, I guess Wolverine, which comes out at the end of July, I guess that's another big movie coming out. So
not to me.
I think it looks pretty solid. It looks better than the last Wolverine movie.
And it looks like we're closing out the year with another Hobbit.
Yeah.
Honestly, I remember I saw the trailer for it when I went to go see Superman or Man of Steel, and it looked cooler than the... I didn't watch the first Hobbit because I'm like, I'm done with this stuff.
It was not great. I did not love it. So.
There's Anchorman 2.
Yeah. Are you a big Anchorman fan?
No. I didn't get into it like other people, but...
That's another one. Like, I don't get it. I don't get the giant appeal for it. But
I don't get into most, if I'm honest, I don't get into most Will Ferrell comedies. People love them, I get it, but...
I don't even know if there was a string. There was like a couple movies, I guess, that I really liked of his, and...
Well, he did a few where he was more serious, and it was way better. Like, what was that crazy one? Oh, I can't remember what it was even about.
I think I know which one you're talking about, though.
It had almost like a sci-fi plot to it. I could look at his film career real quick.
As far as his comedies go, I like the NASCAR one. I thought it was stupid fun. That might be about it.
I loved The Other Guys. That was great.
Yeah. With Mark Wahlberg.
That was funny as shit. Step Brothers was funny as shit.
Yeah, Step Brothers was good.
Oh, Stranger Than Fiction is the one I was thinking of, though. It was more of a serious kind of...
Yeah.
Not serious, but yeah. And then one that he did last year that was definitely more of a dramatic role. Or was it last year? No, it was a couple years ago now. It's called Everything Must Go. I don't know if you ever saw that.
It's where he sells all his crap, right?
He's like an alcoholic, and like his wife kicks him out of his house and shit. Yeah. He
has a yard sale on his
yeah,
lawn.
Yeah. It's not a great movie, but like he was good in it, and it's not a bad movie. And, you know, it's on Netflix.
There is a there's another Arnold Schwarzenegger Sylvester Stallone movie coming out. I believe it's called Escape Plan. That looks like stupid fun.
Hopefully they make one of them right. Like, Expendables didn't really work. Like, I guess you like the one Schwarzenegger one he did that was his comeback, or supposedly his comeback, right?
Yeah, the Last Stand. Last Stand. I thought it was fun. Like,
yeah.
There's two others that actually just caught my eye. One, Paranormal Activity 5. I haven't seen 4. I can't believe that this shit has turned into Saw.
4 is not good.
I cannot believe that this shit just continues to go on.
I can't believe I've seen all fucking 4 of them. I don't know how I got sucked into this. The same thing with Saw. It's like I never really liked Saw, but I saw all of those fucking movies, man. 4 is not good, though. Like, remember I was pretty big on 3? Like, I thought
3 was good. I thought 3 might have been the best.
It probably was, and 4 was done by the same directors, and it was not good.
At some point, though, you just run out of shit to do, like.
And the more you try, like, because they do try to have a plot running through it, it's like the more convoluted and stupid it gets.
Yeah. The other one that caught my eye, and I just saw a trailer for this today, is a Spike Lee's rendition, his remake of Old Boy.
Whoa.
It looks like it could be pretty good, pretty solid. I mean, I've seen Old Boy. That movie is pretty fucked up. It's maybe not quite as good as what was that Korean movie we both liked last year?
I saw The Devil.
Yes, I saw The Devil. I mean, I don't think Old Boy is quite on that level, but It's definitely up there as some like crazy Korean filmmaking batshit insanity. So, I saw the trailer for this. It looks like it could be pretty solid.
I had no idea Spike Lee was doing that though.
I had originally thought it was Steven Spielberg and Will Smith. Josh Brolin, I believe, is the lead in this. So I like Josh Brolin. He's pretty good. So
yeah.
Samuel Jackson's also in it. I'm looking forward to it. I think it could be pretty good.
Yeah. Spike Lee has made one of my favorite movies, 25th Hour. You ever see that?
Yeah, on your recommendation. So.
And you liked it, or I don't remember?
I did. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I loved it like you did, but yeah.
Love that movie.
I did. I liked it. But nothing quite beats Rambo the video game. So.
It's going to be great.
We're going to try and have more episodes in the near future on a more regular basis at some point, but
hopefully we'll see.
Yeah. We like talking about movies, so
yeah, I just need to find time to watch them.
Yeah. that's the hard part, right? Like,
you would think it would be easier than video games, but every time I get my choice, I tend to, cause a lot of movies that come out now, I'm like, I would rather play a video game than watch that.
No. And I know exactly like what you're saying, because like there are times that I'm like, I really want to watch a movie, but I'm just going to play this game. And now I'm like on kind of like the flip side of that is, I just want to sit down and watch this movie, and maybe I'll get back to that game I'm playing. So.
I have no problem choosing movies over a game because they're quicker. But yeah. Like, it's just there have been so few movies lately. Like the last one I was really excited for was like, well, based on the trailers, was Man of Steel. Not because I was a fan of Superman, but I was like, I need to go see it like right away.
The trailers were really well done.
Yeah, I will probably see Maniac soon.
I do want to see that. Yeah,
I'll let you know.
Yeah,
I'm not like a huge fan of like the original, but it's just like one of those things where you're like, I kind of have to see what the fuck is up with this.
Yeah, except it's
Elijah Wood is.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Like it's nuts.
Really weird.
Although he was, did you see Sin City?
Yeah.
He plays a creepy motherfucker in that, so. Like he is in a very small role, towards the middle of that film, where he plays I believe also a serial killer, so. Maybe there's something that, keep an eye out on that, Elijah Wood.
Watch out.
Short little hobbit guy coming after you. yeah, so we'll be doing more episodes at some point. We'll be watching some movies.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's it.
I think.
Yep.
Sure.
Good. We'll catch you next time.
Sweet. We'll be right back.
Movie dudes.